We're reading, as Peter said, from Acts 14, 1 through 28. At Iconium, it's on page 1093 in the Pew Bibles, if you refer to those. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. However, the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and they fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Now in Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up upon your feet!" At that the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Now Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." However, even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Now they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. God will bless this word to you.
Thank you very much, Owen. Now I'd like to invite Dr. Ted Boyce to come and continue the teaching in our series, The Church in Action. Thank you, Dr. Boyce.
The topic that's been given is a good topic, but I've changed it slightly, significantly, totally. The reading is the same, but what I'd like to change is not the way the gospel got to Galatia, being the same way that the gospel will come to the Hills District and the valley in which we meet, but I'd like to speak about God's enabling grace. And as Owen read that so well, I would like us to consider the place of the grace of God in the life of Paul, particularly, but also Barnabas in this passage. Before I come to that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Why? "So that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Acts chapter 14 has been presented to us and will be used by God's Spirit today for each one of us, so that each of us may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That God has a lesson to teach me and you, each one of us, something from himself today. When we come to Scripture, we need to recognize that and appreciate it. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people." The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. In the passage that was read, and this will be the content of what I'm speaking about, we read there in verse 3, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. And so today I would like to share with you what I understand from this passage about the enabling grace of God in your life today. If you look then at verse 26 of the chapter, we read that from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. And so in this passage we have the rest of the story between those two passages. We have the story about God's grace in action in the lives of these two men. We read that it was by the grace of God that they were enabled to carry out God's work. And then, in the context of this particular project in Galatia, they went back to Antioch, in which place they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. So as we think about this, I'd like us to think about Sharon. Sharon's going to Kyrgyzstan. She has been commissioned by the grace of God to go there. And when her time there is complete, it will be because of the grace of God in her life that she was able to do the work that she will do. But that's not good enough for us here. It's actually by the grace of God that you and I can carry out our daily lives in service for God here in this valley, here in the Hills District. Wherever we are, wherever God has placed us, it is in order for us to show the grace of God in action. And I will leave you at the end, in about 20 or 25 minutes' time, with the concept that we can take from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And that's the verse which says this: "Each one of us should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." To administer God's grace is the action of the Christian life. It is the distinctive character and flavour of Christians at work. It is the essential characteristic and ethos of Christian community in action. And so you and I have had the grace of God coming to us through Jesus Christ. His salvation is the action of his grace. But his grace goes beyond that. It certainly includes that as the pinnacle. But it is by the grace of God we have the breath we have today in order to live here on this planet. It is the grace of God which has given us this wonderful creation to enjoy. It's the grace of God which gives us this word, which teaches us the truth of God about how we can live for now and eternity. It is the grace of God which has given us his Son, his one and only Son, the one who was full of grace and truth. It is by the grace of God we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, who teaches us and guides us and counsels us and rebukes us according to God's purposes. And it is by the grace of God that we have the people that we have in our experience, either through history books, through our past experience, or the present context of living. And so it is the grace of God that was with Paul and Barnabas on their travels. And they had some fascinating travels. They had these travels, they went across some difficult terrain, they went to some very difficult places. And I'd like to give just a thumbnail sketch of what happened on their journey. First of all, we read that they went as usual, that was their everyday mode of operation, they went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. Now, where do you usually go to show the grace of God in your life? You go into the kitchen. You go into the lounge room. You go to your neighbours. You go on a bus. You go in a car. You go to shopping centres. You go to work. You go to contexts of different types in your everyday usual life. And Paul and Barnabas went as usual, by the grace of God, to show the grace of God to the Jewish synagogue. And they spoke there so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. There was an impact through their lives. It didn't come from Paul, it didn't come from Barnabas. Despite the fact that Paul was the talker of the two, it actually didn't come from him. Paul and Barnabas were but instruments of the grace of God. You see, those people believed, both Jews and Gentiles, not because of Paul and Barnabas. But Paul and Barnabas were but instruments. And I think that's wonderful to know that and appreciate that understanding, because you see, you and I can be instruments just like that. One of our staff members from Pacific Hills left 2 weeks ago to go to Southern Africa, to the country of Malawi. He wrote me an email this week, and last Sunday he preached into a congregation in that country, a congregation of a couple of hundred, and at the end of his preaching, he said the most amazing thing happened. 21 people committed their lives to Christ. What an amazing thing. Do you know what was good about the email? Mark then said, "It was nothing that I said, because I thought I bumbled." He said, "It was God working in that congregation, and I was only the instrument." William Doomer, who was the pastor of Umgeni Road Baptist Church in Durban, South Africa, for many years, was a wonderful man of God about whom a book was written. The book is called Take Your Glory, Lord. William Doomer had a marvellous ministry of Christian grace in action in his life. And every time there was a happening through his ministry, William Doomer would use this expression, "Take your glory, Lord." And that is the way we should perceive the grace of God acting in our lives. I've known some wonderful Christian characters, and so have you. People whose lives are different, they're distinctive, they are flavoured by the salt of Christian understanding and practice. And we look at those people and we say, how can you go through that experience and still be the lovely, gracious, godly person that you are? And that life is another expression of the grace of God in action. Sometimes we see it in an incident, an event. Sometimes we see it in a period of life, but in Christian maturity we see it growing through all of life. Paul, particularly as the speaker in this passage, when they were here at the Jewish synagogue, it says that they spent, and Paul particularly, spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. So they went as usual to their place where they told the good news, the synagogue. They spoke effectively. And then we're told they spoke boldly. And I think one of the missing characteristics of modern day life, and particularly Christian life, is boldness, courage. In the intellectual world, courage is not as significant as it was at some times in the past. In some cases it is more so, and that will always be the case in the history of humanity. But in other areas of life there is less courage perhaps than we would like. But what I would like to encourage West Pennant Hills Community Church to be is an emboldened community to show the grace of God in action in everyday life. An emboldened community. And that will happen only through one thing, and that will be that those people, ourselves here, will be those whom God's grace enables to do the work that God has called us to do. You see, the Apostle Paul and his friend Barnabas, they spoke at the synagogue. They saw a lot of people become believers. They spoke boldly. And it was God who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. And we might say to ourselves, that's not us. We're not into miraculous signs and wonders. We don't have that sort of responsibility and that opportunity. If you look back to the early part of Acts of the Apostles in chapter 3, we read about another crippled person. This was the crippled beggar. And Peter looked straight at him and said, "Look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." That was a wonderful thing for that man. It was a wonderful expression that others took hold of and they responded. The people around gave praise to this man Peter and his friend John. But what does Peter say later in this chapter? "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." And three times in the chapter, the Apostle Paul is explaining, this has happened by the name and power of Jesus. It's not me, it's not us, it's Jesus and his power. The miracle that occurred in this passage, in Lystra, there was a man, as it says in verse 8, crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth, had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us." They gave Paul and Barnabas a position in their minds that was beyond what was good. And you know what happens in Christian ministry and Christian life? There is a very real danger that when a Christian displays the grace of God in a special way, either through a period of time or in a particular event, that those, particularly non-Christians, and unfortunately sometimes Christians as well, will give praise to those people. And they will say to those people, "You are so wonderful." That's the danger here. But what happened after that? And this is the salutary lesson that we need to learn in our individual Christian lives and in community. Paul sought to explain that it was God working through them. It was God's grace in the words and in their lives that enabled them to be the representatives of Christ that they were to those people. And so he talks about the kindness of God to the people. He talks about the living God who made everything in heaven, earth, and on the sea, and all in them. And then these people had another party come to them. Some of the Jews came. And they convinced the people that these two men whom they'd raised to the pedestal were actually not the people they thought they were. And from being the wonderbars of that experience, they became the dregs, so much so that Paul was stoned and left as if dead. And that's the fickleness that we face in our everyday lives. If we take upon ourselves praise to us for what God has done, those who give the praise will also give the damnation. And it can happen like that. And so the Christian person in everyday life, that is you who sits there in that seat and me standing up here, it is incumbent upon us that we actually understand, appreciate, and acknowledge that any expression of the grace of God through us is only that, that we are an instrument of God's grace in action. God's grace enables us. And there are two little verses in Philippians that I will highlight for us now, which will help to understand this. It's in Philippians chapter 2. I often speak from the passage from verse 5 to verse 11, that great poem of the early church. But immediately following that, and without any break in the original, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore," in verse 12, "my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And here we have it in verse 13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Why in Galatia were Paul and Barnabas able to see wonderful blessing as a result of their teaching and their preaching? It is because it was God who worked in them to will and to act according to his good purpose. Christian maturity is only that which acknowledges God's place in life. Otherwise, we are on another bandwagon. It's a bandwagon of self-adulation or of some other type. And so it is my encouragement to each one of us that we acknowledge the grace of God and seek to show the grace of God in the action of our lives. There are a few other things we need to note in the passage that was read to us today. There's a little verse which says that there are many hardships on the road to entering God's kingdom. And we know that, don't we? The hardships of everyday human existence. Some of the tragedies which come across our path. Some of the circumstances which we would rather had passed us by. They may be little things in the big picture, or they may be big. But each one of us will pass by many hardships in our lives. Paul and Barnabas went through hardships and they knew it. They knew that the people to whom they were speaking, those whom they were teaching, would also go through many hardships, and they told them so. But highlighted throughout their time in Galatia, in these cities, was this concept that it was by the grace of God that they were given the task in that place. And when they looked back after leaving, when they went back to Antioch from Attalia, they realized and remembered that it was God's grace which had allowed them to do that work. So what I'm encouraging us all to do is to strengthen one another, as it says in this passage. Paul and Barnabas stayed there, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. And that, of course, reminds us about the grace of God and faith. We need to show faith in God not just at the point of conversion, but in the everyday outworking of the experience of Christian life. We trust God. We acknowledge him as the sovereign Lord. We acknowledge him as the creator and sustainer of all things. We acknowledge him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for us on the cross, was buried and raised again, so that we could live in a new life, so that we could live the life that God intends, that is, life of God's grace. What would it mean if this congregation at West Pennant Hills Community Church grew in stature as those who show the grace of God in action? We will change this valley. We will change this Hills District. We will change the workplace. We will change our neighbourhood. So let us strengthen each other and encourage each other to be God's people where he has placed us at this period of time in our lives, acknowledging always that it's by the grace of God that we are able to be the people he makes us. In this church, they appointed elders. They had prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord. That is, Paul and Barnabas committed these elders and the other workers to the Lord, the one in whom they had put their trust. And isn't it wonderful when we see people who've put their trust in the Lord God and we can encourage them and strengthen them in their faith and their witness? That's part of the calling that we have. And the way in which we can do that is by showing God's grace in the everyday aspect of life. Back to Antioch. This is where they'd been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. When you receive the grace of God at the moment of your spiritual new life, when you became a new creation, God prepared you at that time by giving you his grace. He prepared you to be able to show his grace for the rest of your life. And I would suggest to each one of us that it is our great responsibility, as well as a great privilege, to be God's people in the place that he has appointed, and together we can show God's grace to others. The passage ends up in this chapter, chapter 14, where the church is gathered together and Paul and Barnabas reported all that God had done through them. And here we have it said in beautiful words. It is not that they reported all that they had done. I would like to encourage you to use your words very carefully. You see, there is a danger too often for us to say, this is what we have done. This is what I have done. In Christian ministry, in Christian action, that is not the appropriate way to speak or to think. Paul and Barnabas reported all that God had done through them. They were just the instruments. They weren't the doers. That was God at work in their lives. And so it must be with each one of us. And also they told these people how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's the reminder that it was not Paul and his teaching, no matter how powerful he was and how persuasive, it was not him that had opened the door of faith, but it is God who had opened the door of faith. If you see a changed person through your involvement with them in presenting the gospel in word or action, just remember this, it is not you that did it. It is God working in you that performed the work. And so for the rest of your life, you have been called by God to do his work for him. And I will conclude as we move towards the time of special communion together here in the way that Christ appointed. I shall leave with you again the words of the verse that I quoted earlier, and I'll add the next one. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 we read, Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, just like Paul and Barnabas did in Galatia. It's the message for today so that we'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work which God has prepared in advance for us to do, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But 1 Peter 4 and the next verse, verse 11, says this: If anyone speaks, that person should do so as if saying the very words of God. If anyone serves, that person should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God will be praised. To him be the glory forever. Amen. As Duma wrote and Duma spoke, take your glory, Lord. It is when we do acts of service in God's name that the glory will come to him. May you and I be better prepared through the reading of this passage and the power of God's Spirit in our lives to be those who, when we speak the very words of God. That when we serve, we do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God will be praised. And that would be a wonderful expression of Christian life in our individual lives and in the community of this local church. As we move into the communion time together, reminded of God's power at work. For in the cross, in the death of Christ, we see the almighty grace of God displayed to us and all mankind. And we are reminded that it was God who sent Jesus, the Word who became flesh. That it was God who gave Jesus, the one full of grace and truth, to become the Saviour, the Holy One, the Perfect One, the one who in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things created by him and for him, nothing has been made that has been made except that he did it. In him was life. Jesus Christ is life for you and me. As he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can't come to God except through him. And having come to God through him, we are then not to do things our own way, but we are to do things God's way. As they said in the 60s and 70s, the Jesus way. And you and I are called by God to this place for this hour to understand and to acknowledge the grace of God that has come to us. And we are in the fellowship that we have over morning tea afterwards, and in our interaction with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ during the coming week, and wherever God takes us, including Sharon across the ocean to Kazakhstan, that wherever it is at any point of time during this coming week, we are called to display the grace of God in action. We are to administer God's grace with the gifts we have in the opportunities of service that he presents for us. And what do we do? We will do what we will do shortly, and we will thank God for Jesus Christ, our Saviour, his grace to us. And we will give the honour, the praise, and the glory to him. As we read in the Revelation chapter 5, there is a time coming when we will all bow. All creation will bow, acknowledging that he is Lord. And as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 reminds us, verses 9 to 11, that all the earth, all the human beings will bow. I think the wonderful privilege that you and I have this morning is that in our hearts, in a few minutes, in a corporate sense, we will all be able to bow and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. But that is not enough. It is our responsibility to acknowledge that we will exercise our Christian life by the enabling of God's grace in us. and that is in every moment of every day. It is in the little things in life that God's grace is perhaps most powerfully displayed. You have the gift of the grace of God. It is your responsibility to allow God to exercise that gift through you. May God bless each one of us as we commit ourselves to the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as the goal of our lives for this coming week.